We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wasn't a fluid game for us by any stretch, and we got to run the ball better on offense, particularly in the waning moments of the game. We weren't able to maintain possession of the ball. I thought they won the line of scrimmage. We got to be better in those areas. We stayed in the fight. We made the necessary stops to do the things that we needed to do to secure the victory. We made the necessary plays on offense.
Mike Tomlin to kick off today's Steelers roundtable from a place that has perfect tables to sit down, share a good meal, good times, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Little sizzle, swizzle, swirl, happy hour.
They just gave me the happy hour menu.
The pomegranate martini. Say no more.
That's Arthur Motes. Comments like that brought to you by Legacy Medical Centers.
I want to name wines. Kenwood, Yalupa, Chardonnay. Mm. Like, I just want to be the person who names wines.
If you had first pick in a sizzle draft of the things that are available, Chris.
I know what I'm going with.
On the happy hour menu. Yep. What's your first pick?
So I know we're at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, but I'll tell you what I get down with every time, and that's a little seared ahi tuna. I will
half
get down,
off.
I will get down with that all
$9 during Ruth's happy hour, 4:30 to 6:30.
Okay.
How about you, Arthur?
Man, I think I'm going to try this lamb lollipop. You know, it just sounds tasty.
Another half
guy. You love candy.
I do.
And you love meats, obviously.
It sounds like the perfect combination.
It's like
a little healthy because it's lamb.
But then you hear lollipop and you say candy, but
absolutely.
Meat.
See, I'm going right to the steak burger. Give me the 1,200 calories.
Oh, okay.
Look at that baby.
Well, you exert
prime
so
steak.
Much energy right now.
Yeah, dealing with you.
Right, that's what I mean. So you need to
keep
up
your strength.
By the
way, you are dressed to the nines.
Oh, man, super dapper. I was waiting on you to say something about that.
If you guys are going to come down and hang out with us, and we've got a full cast here.
4:30 to 6:30 for this swizzle, swizzle, swirl happy hour.
I have arranged some topics, some special topics for the Steelers at the halfway point for our roundtable correspondence, if you will. Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider, Chris Hoke, KDKA, Steelers analyst,
Jordan Dangerfield,
who's going to take us inside. He said he's going to give me the full scoop on Tomlin. Is that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
He's definitely opening the door.
He's going to pull back the curtain.
Metaphorically, there's Mike Tomlin standing there. You're getting the full view. Jordan Dangerfield, a man who has to dive into piles sometimes if there's a loose ball scrums.
Hey.
Things get a little weird down there.
Everybody has something a little uncomfortable about their jobs.
So that's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads. 15 packs now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. Pony and Muller presented by Chafin Lujan, injury law firm, doing good by doing right. The first conversation here to kick off our Steelers roundtable will be Mike Tomlin on his offense, basically saying today that we're happy we won the game, we made just enough plays, but I'm not really satisfied with where we are offensively, and for good reason. They're 28th in total offense. If you take it and go to run pass, not much better, 27th passing, 26th rushing. What is it going to take for the offense to turn around? Arthur, we'll start with you on this. What is it going to take? What needs to happen for the Steelers offense to at least get average over the second half of the season?
I think it's going to basically boil down to Randy Feuchner trusting Mason Rudolph a lot more. And I think it's going to boil down to Mason Rudolph taking chances with the ball. Now, granted, he's playing very smart with the ball in terms of making the safe throws, the checkdowns. I know people get frustrated with it, but those, when you're just looking at the film, that's the safe throw. But at this level, when Juju Smith-Schuster is one-on-one, that has to be viewed as open. You have to give him a shot at the ball. And until we start seeing that, we're not going to see this offense create too many chunk plays right now. So that's the biggest thing I'm seeing. I want to see him just be a little bit more aggressive, but understand taking a calculated risk versus being reckless, because it's a difference between those two. But if he can understand that and start to do that as he continues to grow and develop, I think that this offense would definitely take a step in the right direction, because it's also going to open up the running game for James Conner and company.
I think they've got one of the stats, these like NFL Next Gen stats I love, is like intended air yards, right? Mm-hmm. Are you throwing the ball down the field? And I don't think anybody here is going to argue that Kyler Murray is not a dynamic athlete who can make any throw in the book. But right now, their offensive line in Arizona is so bad that he's near the bottom of the league mm-hmm. in terms of regular starters in terms of air yards that he's thrown. They're just trying to get the ball out of there so quick to keep him upright. And I sense that same problem because you can look at Mason Rudolph and find it with the Steelers where they're giving him more time to throw, but he's checking down a lot. And maybe it's by orders or whatever. You draft the guy and you have a first-round grade on him. I don't think anybody's ever been drafted with a first-round grade or in the top three rounds and somebody says, well, that quarterback, he looks like somebody that I can imagine him checking down to his backs and throwing dump passes to the tight end. You drafted him because you think to one degree or another he can cut it loose. Mm-hmm. And so within reason, Arthur, I'm with you. He starts cutting it loose and just finding success. And I know that this is a have solutions already mapped out business. There's always a magic bullet. Sometimes it's just he throws a one-on-one ball to Juju, it gets caught, and suddenly he feels a lot better about the next one and the next one. If he's able to stretch defenses and keep that extra safety out of the box, I think they can start to play well on offense.
I think it's the other way around. I think in order to get this offense going, I think it's more about the run game than it is the pass game. I think that's going to be the key.
No matter who's back there?
For them. Yeah, I do. Well, no. Actually, no. I thought I was just going to – you were not going to challenge me, and I could just make my point, but you are Chris Mueller. I need to
– and he's dressed nicely today, too, so it's not just –
there's a lot of clothes make
him in. High-quality Mueller today, man.
I can't yell at him today because this is class Mueller.
He's very elegant, man.
This is elegant Mueller.
Yesterday, I believe I said, I'll follow the Browns straight to hell if I need to. And today, it's, listen, let's talk about derivatives.
I almost want to call him Mr. Sir.
I know, don't man. You? Like, he's just, yeah, wow.
Man, if you're dressed like
Bob Nutting today. I should call you Mr. Mueller the rest of the show.
I'm going to be very transparent.
You look like an important person.
Usually, you're like an icy light type of guy, but today, you're like a Chardonnay or something, man. I don't know, man.
A Pinot Noir.
A Cabernet. Like, yeah. You just.
Well, let's see what's on here. Can we.
Give me that Kenwood Yalupa. There's your Chardonnay.
Yeah, there's some happy hour wines on the other side of this. How about a Paris Valley Road?
I'll tell you right now. Cabernet. If I have a drink towards the end of the show today, it will be a glass of wine befitting my outfit.
Absolutely.
I think there are too many question marks about their passing game. I mean, we can sit here until we're blue in the face and talk about Rudolph having to throw it downfield and Juju being able to take advantage of one-on-one matchups. And we've seen
signs of life from Deontay Johnson
and James Washington. And Vance McDonald finally had a good game last weekend.
Say it again about James Washington. I missed that part.
He actually had a good game.
Okay, I was just.
I like to hear you say. That's a recitation.
So I think it's got to be the run game. When I think of Steelers teams that win with defense, the other part of that offensively is that the run game is solid, and that was their formula when they won Super Bowls at the start of Ben's career. And I don't think this team is going to win the Super Bowl, but I think. You know, they could be a generic mid-2000 Steelers. They could be a Fugazi version of those Steelers, your knockoff brand version, where they're not quite good enough to win the Super Bowl, but they're good enough to make the playoffs. And that's where you go, great defense. We don't need to troubleshoot the defense right now. And the Steelers offense with a run game. And I think it starts with the offensive line, and then it trickles down to James Conner. James Conner's got to get healthy. Okay, that to me is going to be a major storyline in the second half of the season. Can he get healthy and can he stay healthy? And if we get a healthy James Conner, if it looks like the guy that went to L.A. and was in beast mode, and the guy against the Dolphins that, you know, with the lights on him from the very beginning looked like he was ready to, you know, basically dominate that game, if we see that version of James Conner the second half of the season, then I think some of the issues we have in the passing game don't need to be solved for them to win. Because I think it's asking too much.
Well,
I really do. I think it's too complicated with their offense right now. Yeah,
is it too complicated, or is it a case of they built it for one guy and it was supposed to be coordinator and star quarterback working together and it's just become a very bumpy transition? I think that's the thing here.
I mean, isn't that always the case, though, if your franchise quarterback goes down during the season? It's different if this happened during OTAs or during training camp and you have ample time to change the offense. You have ample time for everybody to get adjusted.
How about Saints?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Okay,
so
but we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater was a first-round quarterback who was a starting quarterback in this league and was in line to get paid before he blew out his knee.
I don't think it's so much your star goes down and that's just what happens. It's when the guy replacing him has no real tangible experience.
He's young, yeah,
like, well, how about what the Ravens did last year?
What the Ravens did last year.
Yeah, where like 10 games into the season,
no.
They said, uh-oh.
Even with Lamar Jackson. We see his style is very different, very unique to any other quarterback we've seen in recent NFL history.
But I think the point Chris is trying to make is that the offensive philosophy would need to change from Ben to Rudolph. And in Baltimore, they changed their philosophy overnight. It was a total 180.
I think their goal. I think what made them able
and they did
to,
it mid-season,
to pull
Arthur.
It off last year,
they
pulled
Flacco.
He was a unique athlete.
I'm saying
athlete
is this.
At
such a
position.
Unique athlete. It wasn't as if you're talking about –
I think what's more, what you could compare it better to is look in Jacksonville right now. Look in Carolina right now. Those guys aren't freak athletes. Those guys aren't one-offs. Those guys can't you just come in and just say, you know what? I know we're typically running a passing offense with Joe Flacco, but we're going to switch to a spread offense.
You know what?
That's not the situation.
I think you're hitting
there.
On something. The Steelers need James Conner to be like Christian McCaffrey. They need him to play like a top-of-the-line running back because I think that's probably made things a whole heck of a lot easier on Kyle Allen, don't you think?
Absolutely.
That he's got one of the best offensive performers in the NFL on his roster. And is it asking too much for James Conner to put up that kind of production?
He's not, well,
he did for five games last year.
He's not Christian McCaffrey, though. That's
but what is he then?
I think he's a really good back in this league.
So let's go.
I think he reminds me of like a Mark Ingram.
I was
going to
say, they're
like
very
that.
Different in their dynamics. McCaffrey, what he brings from a speed element, what he brings from a big play capability element, James physically isn't the same caliber athlete as him, and I think that's why some of these that you see McCaffrey do, you can't expect to see
he's
that
like a
from
top,
James
he's
Conner.
A top three physical specimen
right.
of the position. He's like with less open field wiggle but way more top-end speed than Bell.
Yes.
And the exact same kind of profile as make-you-miss mm-hmm. pass-catching ability. I look at James, and the reason the running game is so important, you go back to some of those great Steelers defenses of the early 2010s, 2010 and 11 specifically, Pony, where they had the number one scoring defense in the league 2 years running. What were they doing? 2010, third longest average drive for the Steelers offense in the league. 2011, the longest average drive that they would go on. It was over 3 minutes. Well, that means you're going to win time of possession. The running game and defense pretty much all the time go hand in hand. Patriots defense last year suddenly becomes their bell cow for the most part.
All right,
why?
So that's what I'm
they're
saying. They
got
to get the running game going. You're preaching to the choir here. That's
just,
the key.
I'm just pointing out.
With
yeah,
this
that's
offensive
how it works.
Line, they should be able to run the ball on people.
I do agree with that. But we're speaking of this offensive line in terms of how they looked last year, how they looked in the years prior to this. This year, they have not looked that same.
So what are they to you right now? An above-average offensive line trying to get to great?
No, I think they're a good offensive line, but they're not great right now.
They're an offensive line trying to block eight and not seven on most plays.
Absolutely, and that's the difference, and that's directly related to what? The passing game.
Well, then go 12 personnel, let's see two tight ends.
Okay, it sounds good, but even with that, you're still just bringing more people. You're still bringing more people into the box. It's a numbers game. When you have a receiver outside, like in the past, you've seen who they've had out there. Antonio Brown with Juju. So you're not allowed to put eight guys in the box.
And the reason that the Ravens can run the ball on people with eight in the box is because the quarterback has to be on
absolutely.
As a runner.
Absolutely, and that changes everything.
It's not subtracting one automatically
correct.
From the equation as just a matter of course. See, to me, I'm looking at them, and I know I was not bullish on the Steelers yesterday chances-wise. Like, I think they can win seven games, maybe win eight games, but I have a hard time seeing them get to nine, and it's because I feel like they're in chicken-in-the-egg mode with what's going to make their
offense
go. All
right, you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text on Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. We need to calm down today. We're in a very classy establishment.
And
so we can't have Mueller yelling
classy.
And screaming.
Yes.
And yes.
I mean, he's just
– he's got to look the part and sound the part.
Gosh.
So coming down and
debonair.
See us.
If he dressed like this on a Tuesday, what did he look like when he was emceeing that event the other day?
Great point.
Wow.
You're right.
Similar to this, believe it or not. In fact, the same jacket and the same jeans and the same
Come
shoes.
Come down to PPG Paint Place and see us. We're at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and we'll be here until 6 for our Steelers Roundtable conversation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.